From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Stocking cap wearing, you are such a mismatch today. Ever vampiric, ever non-dying. Producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic. Good to be back.
I gotta say, Bob, it may be a little mismatch, but it's cold outside. Even for a vampire, I need to stay warm in times like these. So you gotta wear the sweater. You gotta have the cap on, as well as the cape, because the cape helps keep you warm, too. But you gotta have all these things in order to have, proper warmth. You know, some people think vampires, they're creatures that don't need sweaters or things of that nature. But that's just not true, Bob. That's just not true at all. We need to wear our jackets and caps just like the rest of the people out there.
Are you falling asleep in there?
Why? What did you hear?
Snoring. Do you hear that?
I don't hear any snoring.
You don't hear any snoring?
No.
Well, I mean, you're not wearing a headset.
No, I don't hear any snoring.
I hear snoring.
Huh. Well, must be a raccoon or something like that.
You didn't hear that snoring?
No.
Well, they're definitely snoring or something weird with the lines. Anyway.
Just carry on, Bob.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, Anthony was supposed to be back this week.
What happened, though?
You don't hear the snoring?
It must be a creature. Sometimes we get raccoons and squirrels in here.
Raccoons and squirrels in the studio, the radio
sometimes
studio?
That happens.
You don't hear that.
I guess I could hear it a little faintly. Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. Can we maybe move into the new TV studio? Can you cut the camera to the... Is that Anthony in the daytime talk show center?
He's in the new set area.
The new daytime talk show area.
Yeah, what's going on?
Anthony.
Hey.
Oi. We're on the show.
What show?
Bob After Dark, you're in the daytime talk show.
Hang on.
Section.
Is it 10 a.m.?
9 p.m. It's Bob After Dark.
You told me to come at
Can you just get to the desk?
Did you tell me to come at 9 a.m.?
9 p.m.
I've been here since 9 a.m.
Did you interview anybody fun on your daytime talk show?
The daytime talk show.
Australia in the morning?
Fantastic. Good morning, Australia.
Good morning, Australia. And alongside of me, making his triumphant return to the Bob After Dark studio set stage, been lonely without him, my co-host, the Australian occultist himself, Anthony DeFabio.
Oi.
G'day, Anthony.
Man. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm great.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well.
20 days into the new year, and Anthony's already back, and the boys are back in town.
The band's
back together. I'm able to run the show by myself. I've done it before. I've done it for a long time before you came around, but it's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's nice to be back, but I got missed.
You ended up in the daytime talk show studio.
I went to the daytime talk show studio.
Did you? Good morning,
you know,
Australia.
Things are a little bit upside down in Australia, and we're all a little bit mad here.
Speaking of Australia, we've been, I know a lot of the fans have been reaching out to you.
Yes.
And hopefully you got all of our warm wishes from everybody, because we know you were taking some time off to kind of rejuvenate from all of that stuff. So
yes.
Just know that we absolutely love you and we love to have you back, but our hearts and prayers, thoughts, intentions all go out to your family and friends and your land, really.
Absolutely.
I remember you and I have still been communicating,
yeah,
even with your absence.
Absolutely.
And you were telling me some
of
the things that,
communicating.
Well, of course. Like you were telling me some of the stuff going on with your family and our fans that listen from Australia,
yes,
and they were saying, you were telling me, like, waking up and just ash all,
yeah,
over the home, just waking up and that's what you're,
yeah,
breathing and that's what you're smelling.
It's a tragedy. I mean, it's for all those poor creatures that have lost their lives, and many people as well, and homes and memories are all up in ash. So yeah, prayers are out to the homeland
now. we're going to get a fundraiser going within the next couple days.
There's, yes.
And you wanted to just kind of issue a quick PSA about donating, because there are, isn't the best intentions out there.
True.
You want to talk about that real quick before we move on?
Well, if there's anyone that's willing to donate, just kind of do a little bit of the research on it, because you just want to make sure that the money goes, in fact, to where it's supposed to be going.
Sure.
Versus not going where it's supposed to be going. A lot of the firefighters there are actually volunteers. So they're not getting paid to do what they're doing right now.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot. So I think there's one, which is a CFS, which is the Country Fire Service, I believe they're called. If you guys want to look that up, the CFS in Australia, they volunteer firefighters saving as many lives as possible.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on, and the fires are slowly starting to come together.
Yes.
But there is an absolute disaster to clean up after. There is a ton of rebuilding, and you know,
it's it absolutely, like I said, a lot of memories have just gone, and you know, the animals, you know, like, you know, the koala bear is, you know, endangered now, which is horrible. So
we move on, we press forward, and Australia will regrow and rebuild, and everything.
We will rise from the ashes.
Oh, no, yeah, of course.
We will rise from the ashes.
Right, and you were saying the Abenishnis, you were telling me even before the show that the fire is the idea of a cleanse, and right now the only thing you could possibly do is rise and start afresh and start new and doing the best thing you guys can do.
Yeah, the Aborigines have been looking after the land for 60,000 years, and you know, they intend to keep on moving strong, and my prayers are out to everybody overseas. So
let's get that. We'll get that thing going up real. Probably
perfect.
I'll put it up tomorrow.
Yep.
In fact, so we can have that going for you guys to donate. Let's dive right into the weekend update, starting with Panic, because that's the heartthrob of Bob After Dark. Count Panic. What's your weekend update, Count?
Get your 8x10s in the parking lot after the show. Line up, ladies. Line up. But
Panic is available, by the way. Almost Valentine's Day. Are you looking to book yourself a vampire for your Valentine's Day dinner?
Isn't that a movie, Date with a Vamp?
Date with a Vampire.
Interview with a Vampire.
No, that's another movie, but there is.
Well,
my
first
mom...
they interviewed, and then they went on a date.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. Better than the other way around, you know?
There was a movie. My mom went on a date with a vampire or something. Remember that, yes.
It was a Disney movie, yeah.
And then there was also The Lost Boys, where the mom went on a date with the vampire.
The head vampire.
The head vampire. Well, now you're spoiling the movie. Max.
Yeah. Watch it. No, you just said his name.
Yeah.
Now you killed it for everyone.
So let's get your weekend update, Count. Oh, but before we do, if you guys would like to have Panic as your Count Panic as your date for Valentine's Day, shoot us an email, bob@bobafterdark.com. We'll fly Panic anywhere around the world for your Valentine's Day dinner.
We're going to fly him out because his wings deserve a break.
Weren't you planning to start a dating site for cryptids and stuff like that?
I wanted to do, this was early days of Bob After Dark. I had this great idea of doing a paranormal dating website where people that are like-minded paranormal people that are into cryptozoology, into the ghosts and stuff, can get together and be like-minded with other folk. Come to find out, it's already a thing. The Coast to Coast, our mother show, on late nights, they have a legitimate paranormal dating service. So my idea went right out the water. So instead, it's get a date with Count Panic. You can legitimately, we'll fly him. I guarantee it. Count Panic will be flying the fanciest coach flight at Spirit Airlines. But we're going to send Count Panic to you. So if you're needing a date for Valentine's, you don't have plans.
I'm better off walking if we take Spirit Airlines. I don't know. But,
we're not going to say that. Just
are they sponsors?
They might be soon. Oh, Spirit Airlines.
Not anymore.
The airlines. If you're looking to sponsor a show, Bob After Dark. I'm traveling all the time for cons.
You know what?
Panic needs to go on these dates.
And if there was an airline, I mean Spirit, that's like
that,
spooky.
I think Spirit Airlines should probably sponsor Bob After Dark. Get in touch with Spirit Airlines people and be like, why aren't you sponsoring a podcast? I would fly Spirit all the time to every con I ever go to. Facts. If they decided to sponsor this show.
There you go.
Okay, so let's get your weekend update.
Yeah, you know, weekend was pretty good. You know, I
It's always the same thing with him. That's pretty good.
Had to stop at the mall.
You went to an actual shopping mall in 2020?
There is a shopping mall still out there.
I've been to a couple, but it just reminds me these days of like Stranger Things 3. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's becoming a thing of the past, and it's up to us to keep it alive, I guess, if you guys want to hang out at the mall. That's where people used to hang out, is the mall.
True story.
You know what? For this show, this will be good, because there's a lot of spooky abandoned malls.
There's tons. The mall that the Blues Brothers trashed is now abandoned.
Oh.
Yeah, and the mall that Stranger Things was filmed in, someone found a body in. I remember you reported on that a while ago.
That's
right. Yeah.
There's some good photos of abandoned malls online, so hopefully it doesn't get to that point. But usually it's been a low-key weekend there. Like I said, not too much going around, just getting some vampire errands done.
What about a date with Panic at a haunted mall?
I don't mind that.
At the food court.
At the food court.
Panic will take you to the finest food court establishment. Sbarro's? Anybody? I like Sbarro's.
That's still there, yeah.
Yeah. See?
What else is there? Taco Bell?
Maybe. All these places could be sponsoring Bob After Dark, by the way. Would you like to sponsor a paranormal podcast? Boy. So, I need several weekend updates from you. We got time.
Well, I've just kind of been hanging out and, talking to family back home and just making sure that everybody's okay, you know, back home. That's about it. And went to the mall as well.
Oh, did you go to the mall?
Yeah, I went to the mall. Yeah.
Hey, I should. You know what, Bob? I'm going to give a cheap plug for somebody else here.
You could do a cheap plug.
And you know this guy, too. It wasn't the weekend, but a couple days before the weekend, did a Panic in the Region impromptu at the world premiere of our good friend Alex Schnoslack's movie, Cashing Out. So
I heard you made an appearance in that movie.
I was in that movie, Bob, and of course, you know, we went to school with Alex there. So
yep.
Check out cashingoutfilm.com there to find out show times. It's playing at Goodrich Theaters near you. So playing for a few select dates the next few weeks, but pretty cool stuff. In a movie, Bob. In a movie.
Yeah, in a movie. Count Panic was in a movie. True story.
Ah. Got a little part.
So
the Panic. Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
So nothing really new.
No, nothing new.
2020, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Make it to 2021.
That's a great resolution.
It certainly is.
With all the nonsense I drag you into with Bob After Dark, that's a very fair one. Hey, let's go explore this abandoned cemetery in the middle of the night, or let's go to this abandoned farmhouse that might have some kind of cryptid hanging.
That
around.
Was fun.
That was awful.
Yeah, that was fun. Somebody else chimed up. Bobby chimed in and said Cinnabon needs to be a sponsor.
Look, right now we are shopping around for any and all sponsors. So look, Cinnabon, if you want to
like Cinnabon,
I've never had one.
No.
I don't think I've ever had a Cinnabon.
No.
I don't recall going and getting a Cinnabon. I'm sure at some point in my existence I had a Cinnabon.
You had an Orange Julius, I think.
Was it Cinnabon, it's not just cinnamon buns, there's all other forms of pastries available, I would think so, right?
It has been 5 minutes in the show, and you're already picking on me about a pastry.
Am I picking on him?
No, I don't see anything.
I'm just answering one of our viewers.
You're just making some observations.
Yes.
If this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark on podcast land, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast at. If you're listening onto us on Apple, you can make sure to leave us a 5-star review. We typically broadcast every Tuesday night here at Bob After Dark, but we have officially made an executive decision. We will be on at least through the end of March. We are going to be on Mondays exclusively, just to kind of help balance the basketball schedule and help me balance out the podcast editing schedule. So we'll be on Mondays here.
You know how we came to this decision, though?
We walked in.
Because we don't want to jerk people around between Mondays and Tuesdays. So
yes.
For basketball season, Monday is the safer date. So at least for basketball season, we're going to stick on Mondays here.
Now, 9 a.m.?
9 p.m.
Oh, 9
that's
p.m.
That's Bob Before Dark.
Oh. Well, we should say that, too. We're going to 9 a.m.
We're a paranormal podcast. We're a paranormal.
9 p.m.
We're a paranormal show.
So we have how to many be on at night?
How many paranormal shows go on during the day, like airing new? Other than maybe in the 90s when the psychics had like their like talk shows or you know their infomercials.
The 90s crossing and the over with John Edwards. Remember that was during the day.
That was during the daytime.
John Edwards. Yeah.
He's still around.
Miss Cleo was on the overnights, right? So I mean, if Miss Cleo, she had an info show, right?
She did.
She had infomercials, but she actually did like live things where she would be talking to people on the phone.
That's what you. I never
call me now
for your free reading.
Yeah, for your free reading. You know, the Bob After Dark hotline, we have one. I don't remember the number of it, but we're going to get that going.
There's always some guy that calls on there. I don't know who that is.
I'll start doing tarot readings on the Bob After Dark hotline. You guys can call and be like, who's this? What's this? I'm going to have to get the next round of the business cards when we have, like, the actual business on the back. I'll put the Bob After Dark hotline on there so you guys can call it.
Yes.
Because I don't use it, so we should probably get using of that. So if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, what happens during the show? We cover a bit of paranormal news. Anthony picks on me a little bit. Panic hangs out. We get his take on things. And most importantly, we cover the lore of the week, which is whatever topic we decide we're going to do. Sometimes we theme our months, but right now for the end of through January and February, we don't have any themes. But March is coming up, and March is Faelor month. So that's one of my favorite months of the year. I'm very excited about Faelor month.
And what better way to kick off Faelor month with one of our favorite Faes of all time?
We got a little bit to go till March.
Right around the corner.
Something about a flute. But so right now we just kind of jump from topic to topic, and this week we actually are answering to a challenge that has been long overduely.
Wait, who challenged us?
The Ghostly Podcast, Patrick and Rebecca.
Patrick and Rebecca.
Yeah, they decided. So I'm listening to Ghostly. This is a little bit ago. And they're doing an episode on the Hull House in here in Chicago. And I'm listening, and they touch about this demon baby, which we're going to get to. And all I hear on the show was, that's a Bob After Dark thing. Well, excuse me, it's a Bob After Dark thing. We talk about other things. But according to them, the demon baby is specifically a Bob After Dark problem.
We'll take that problem.
We'll take that problem. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But most to start the shows off, we cover a little bit of news stories. Sometimes Anthony doesn't come prepared and brings none.
Ye of little faith.
You got some weird news for me.
I do.
You want to start it off?
Sure.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Here's something I came across in the parking lot as I was walking in to the show. Scientists have created what they claim to be the first living robots. New life forms created out of cells. Okay, this is kind of where we're going sci-fi right now.
Yeah.
Scientists took cells from a frog embryo and turned them into a programmable machine. Well, what would that machine do, one might ask? Scientists believe that these tiny X-bots, which they call it, these cells can be used to transport medicine through your body for ill patients. Also, clean up bacterial and pollution in the ocean.
Okay.
This kind of reminds me of, do you remember that movie years ago? It was called Inner Space, I believe it was.
No.
Where the guy is in a ship and he gets shrunk down and he goes inside a body. Okay. But anyway, they've created this. Now, they can also heal themselves if they've been damaged. They are neither a living cell nor a traditional kind of a robot. These are classed as a living, programmable organism. Crazy where technology has taken us and where we're going to go.
That is really bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm sure this was this is a trope in a lot of fiction where they shoot the scientist in a little pill and then they make the person swallow the pill.
That's basically the premise of that movie.
Right. I'm sure it was a Twilight Zone episode at some point. But regardless, it's a really big trope, and now you're getting to that point where that's a possibility. And I'm no medical expert by any means other than the eyes for day job stuff, but it's interesting to know that these things can heal you from the inside out.
Yes. They basically are transporting medicine to the right places. Now, if you think about this, you know, on the medical sense, obviously, right?
Sure.
that's a massive, massive step. People that have, you know, terminal illnesses or things that, you know, traditional like radiation, chemotherapy, things like that, that really attack all your cells, where now you can have something that will basically is programmed to go and attack that specific cell and give it healing medicine that it needs. I just think that's kind of a cool story I came across.
I like that. Yeah. Hashtag panic steak.
Well, you know, I'm not a man of science. I don't believe in science, really. But this is pretty cool. I mean, that's eerie that we came this far.
Yeah.
Long ago, I mean, this you tell you if you told somebody this in, say, even the 1950s, you would probably blow their mind.
It'll be.
You're blowing my mind with telling me this right now.
It's 2020, I guess. Yeah. Things are moving
along. So it's advanced.
My first news story is coming to us from Alaska.
Yeah.
Apparently, there has been CIA leaked documents, and you guys aren't watching me do my air quotes in the air on podcast land, but that seems to be the thing. So according to these leaked documents, there are 3 alien bases on the planet inhabited by alien species currently.
In Alaska.
And everywhere. There's a few different ones, but one specifically, the biggest one, is on Mount Hayes, which happens to be the highest mountain point in the east range of Alaska. And apparently there were pictures attached, and I saw some of them, and you get to a certain level when you're studying this stuff and when we're doing, projects on it and whatnot, and you're researching for shows. You get to a certain point where the line gets drawn between, potential things or science fiction, science-y things that are almost science fiction. And then you get to, the borderline almost conspiracy theorist stuff. And this is where I feel like it's conspiracy theory level things, but apparently this UFO sighting, this UFO base was in Alaska, and this document leaked it.
Really cool.
Something like that. What? Hashtag panic steak.
They can't stop us all. Let's storm Alaska.
Storm Alaska.
I mean, we want to see
some
aliens.
The last frontier, yes? Shall we?
How far is Alaska from here?
Far.
Yeah, not too far. Greyhound. Far.
Does Spirit Airlines get us there?
We don't know. We'll find out when Spirit Airlines decides to sponsor Bob After Dark. But the idea is that it is in literally the most remote part and the most dangerous part of Alaska to be traveling by foot or in general. So that's why they say it's perfectly hidden there, because no one's going to go look for it.
Right. Well, look, I believe there's a ton of bases everywhere.
Sure.
That,
You guys even had one in Australia.
There's a few in Australia. Yeah.
Is that where you come from?
Yes, the alien base.
Born
I was a little embryo.
Fun fact, every time that Anthony's missing, he's actually not like me. He's actually the version of Anthony we had was dead. I have another clone of him. I call Australia and they mail me this Anthony in a tube. I throw him in some water for a couple days and he comes out. He's like, oi!
I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Very neat.
Does people want to storm Alaska? I mean, I've never been. I wouldn't mind going to see Alaska, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. They are saying that these things are really ancient and very old. And
I'm
these
sure.
bases have been here long before we have.
I'm sure.
I guess if I was an alien and I was building a kind of place to hang out and hide, I would probably do it in the most remote parts where I don't want to be discovered. A spot like that definitely would make the most sense.
Absolutely. Question for you, though.
Hit me.
If you were to build a base.
Sure.
What would you have in there? Like, what would your ideal, you're secluded from the world. Well, what would some necessities be if Bob was in a remote base somewhere?
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
Would you have like a teapot, coffee pot?
Sure, no, I'm not a coffee person. Tea's probably not bad. That's a good question. I can't hear you.
Some bells and chains.
Bells and chains, absolutely bells and chains, beer. Yeah, it's not bad. How about you?
Books.
You'd have your own library.
Books. Survive on books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of funny. That sort of ties into my second, like, second.
Oh, look at that.
Not one,
two stories.
But two. This happened back in December 23rd in Denver, Colorado. The Denver Post reported, I'm doing the Bob quotes now, a band of large drones.
Jeez.
Is that your story?
No. But I read that one, almost wrote that one down.
Did you?
But I tapped into the
flying in the sky. So yeah. It kind of caused a little bit of a panic.
No pun intended.
I hear you.
The FAA flew a plane out there to investigate for about 5 hours, circling, you know, trying to pick things up on the radar. Nothing. The Air Force said nothing. That wasn't us. Local radar was like, nope. But mass hysteria started happening because they were seeing these, what they thought were drones, just flying and hovering above Denver, Colorado.
That's really
maybe
weird.
They came from Alaska.
It's possible. It's pretty far away. Yeah. Pretty far away from each other, but I guess it's plausible, right?
Yeah.
Want my take?
Yeah. Obviously.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Hashtag pink.
I can't wait for Space Force to come so we can take out all these drones. Us three will be on the front lines, aren't we?
I think you're past the front line entry. I think we're both past our front line entry days.
We're Space Force? Come on.
You ever see Star Trek Troopers?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I've got a question for Space Force, though. Why do they have to wear camo?
Good question.
Space camo.
Space camo.
Space camo.
Why?
Why not?
We don't know what space looks like, though. That's the thing.
Space camo. I guess it. Space.
We've never been there.
No.
So why wouldn't they wear, like, black?
I don't know, man.
There might be trees up there. We don't
could
know.
Could be trees up there.
Yeah, some bushes. Maybe a fern.
Could be a fern up there.
Could be.
With the
rosemary bush. They survive everywhere. But anyway.
Do they really?
Yeah.
That's good to know. The idea of drones are interesting because it's a lot more widely available now to the public. You can go to Target and buy a drone now, and there's a big hobby for it. You know, you fly drones, take pictures. But
And there's a lot of them that look, you know, there's the
sinister. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Reports of these drones all over. So
that's interesting. It has to be Denver. There's a lot of weird that goes on in Denver. Maybe someday we'll cover the airport because there's the Denver
Maybe someday we should go to Colorado, Bob, just to see the weirdness.
The Denver airport itself could be an entire episode of Bob After Dark, from like demonic activity to extraterrestrial. Like that, the airport itself is great. But my next story is actually coming from Antarctica.
Ah.
And scientists have found an ancient, never before seen virus buried in the glaciers.
Whoa. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's highly potent and highly dangerous. Scientists say, well, there's a benefit to melting it out of the ice, because if they're able to melt it out and examine it, they can basically see, they can basically trace and track down the Earth's climate over time, and they could basically prove, you know, the global warming thing and what could potentially survive an ice age and several ice ages, because these things are very, very old. The downside is that if they melt too much, it can get into the
Umbrella Corporation.
The pathogens can get leaked into the atmosphere and then proceed to come to all of us. So they're debating right now if they should melt back some of this ice.
You got a guy and a gal back there. Shall we do it there, John?
It was definitely Vixen says it was a movie. It was actually an X-Files episode and an episode of Fringe where they did the same exact thing, and she said something about the mammoth, and I believe you're correct. I don't see any good coming from it. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
It's buried
if
there
this
for a reason.
If this virus is buried deep inside the ice, there is probably a reason. I mean, I'm sure it's not been frozen for a reason.
Right.
But this thing survived millions of years encased in ice.
Right.
It probably shouldn't be out of the ice, because they're saying that it's so old and they're not able to kind of study it yet, that if they release it and it's harmful to people,
then we're screwed.
Then we're screwed, because there's no like, you know, there's no antibiotic out there for ancient, highly potent viruses. It might be good. It might give you superpowers. I'm going with the, it should probably stay within the ice. They're also, I guess, saying that if global warming keeps happening, which it is, I mean, they're saying that it's possible that the glaciers will melt anyway and release it into the atmosphere either way.
Well, do it naturally. Right?
Hashtag panic steak.
Well, if we survived the first ice age, we'll survive this one.
I didn't survive the first ice age.
Oh. Did anybody survive the ice age?
Obviously, we're here, right?
I was frozen.
You were frozen.
Yeah. One of your many versions of Anthony.
You and Walt Disney.
Yes. Yes, and Dr. Evil.
Yeah, it's true, too, as well. I'm with you, Bob. Don't mess with it. It sounds eerie.
Like, that just sounds bad. It doesn't sound like a good idea. And if you guys have any weird story, do you have any more stories? Because I only got two for the week.
No.
Okay, neither do I. I got two for the week. If you guys have any weird news stories that you want to share with us, you can email them, bob@bobafterdark.com, or you can shoot them over to the Facebook page. If you find anything weird, bizarre, paranormal, occulty, or straight up just science-based that's borderline science fiction like Anthony's nano living bot things, mm-hmm. Let us know.
Frog.
And I got to say, people do send stuff to me sometimes. I did pass along to Bob.
I want to talk to you. That was my last thing I wanted to talk about was the alien thing.
Yeah.
I could buy into it.
You buy into it?
Yeah. You want to talk a little bit more about it?
No, we got this sent from a listener, Eric, and he wanted me to pass along to you to get your thoughts. And
you want
to
talk about the video? You could talk about it?
I don't want to. It's too – I watched it, but I don't know if I'm on the level to comprehend it. I passed it on to you, though, but
I'll share it up on the Facebook page.
Sure.
Panic texted it, and you guys can give me your own opinion. I won't even spoil it. Basically, alien proof or not, that's all I'll say about it.
Was it an interview?
I could play – I would play it, but I don't want to get
– It's going to be weirded out
with the podcast. Yeah, it's going to be copyright, too.
But is it the interview?
We'll post it up on the page.
I'll post it up on the page, and you can give me your intake on it.
I think I might have seen it.
You might have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll definitely check that out. Yes. So if you guys have any weird news stories, things like that you want to talk about or cover, or someone just sent in the other day a picture of a security camera footage of what they think was a spirit attached to somebody that was appearing on the camera. If you guys have any kind of that stuff, don't hesitate to send it along. We're pretty well mannered in knowing what is fact or crap, no pun intended. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask or whatever. The Bob After Dark team is here for you. So let's dive right into the lore of the week. And I wanted to start the lore of the week off with a story.
Tell me.
Once upon a time ago, I was listening to the Ghostly podcast.
Oh.
And they were covering this thing called the Hull House, H-U-L-L House. Not to be confused with Hell House, which is what Anthony called it.
That's why I did my story.
No, that's another place. There is a place called the Hull House. It's not...
Let me throw some garbage.
No, the Hull House. We'll go into a little bit of history of it.
Yes.
I'm not going to go super into it because the Ghostly podcast did an amazing job. Like, their podcast was almost like 2 hours that episode, and half of it was the history of the Hull House. And you learned so much from Pat and Rebecca there. I'm not going to rain on their parade. So go check out their Hull House episode. What I wanted to talk about was the challenge that they issued to me in said episode, well, us. And they said, they were talking about the ghostly sightings in Hull House, which mm-hmm. I'll talk about. I'll briefly mention the Hull House ghosts because I have something else to talk about. They mentioned on the show about a demon baby.
Yes.
And they glossed over the concept of the demon baby, and they're like, well, that's not really our territory because we talk about ghosts.
Right.
Do you want to know who could talk about the demon baby? Bob After Dark team.
There you go.
And so I'm listening to that, and, you know, I'm driving. I'm like, wow, that's, you know, you get to a certain point where you're like, that's kind of cool. You know, you get mentioned on your favorite podcast and you realize, oh, this is what I do. I'm also a podcaster now. And then you start driving and you're like, wow, those jerks actually called me out to do something. And I've been putting it off for a bit because we had the Spirit of the Holidays episodes. And
yes.
I'm like, you know, we get to this and I'm like, okay, what do I want to talk about this week? I'm like, all right, I guess I have to address this challenge made to us from the Ghostly team, which I actually challenged them back on something. I messaged Pat, and I'm like, since you challenged me, and I'm going to make this publicly known here and now, I'm challenging Pat and Rebecca to a story of their own.
Hmm.
The Devil Made Me Do It case.
Oh.
Pat is such a skeptic. Pat is hashtag team skeptic. I want to know his opinion behind that story and the weird, weird paranormal side of it. Because I want, there's a lot of history to that case and with the Warrens. So, you guys, I want you to go over to the Ghostly Podcast's social media.
I want Pat to sit in the chair.
I want Pat to sit in that rocking chair. You know what? I can make that happen. It's our old buddy Zach Baggins is in his, it's in his museum, and apparently it's been causing possession. So I want you guys to go over to the Ghostly Podcast social media and be like, guys, we want you to talk about the Devil Made Me Do It case and how the Warrens went in, and basically it was one of the few cases that they just said, nope.
Yep.
So that's my issue, my challenged issue. You guys could go over there and say, I said it. I'm okay with it. I think Pat's, I think Pat needs a case that might stump him a little bit. So I'm throwing that way out to him. I hope you guys are ready for a challenge back, Ghostly.
Absolutely. And I want Pat to sit in the chair.
You want Pat to sit in the chair? I can make that happen. I don't know if Pat's listening right now or watching live. He usually catches the podcast or if he's up.
Pat,
late.
What's a possession?
What's a
He'll be all right.
We're around. We can take care of the possession.
We got panic.
But
we got
according
panic
to here. According to Pat, there's no such thing, right? Now, Rebecca's the believer on the side.
Yes.
But let's talk a little bit about the history of the Hull House.
Yes.
So this is just a brief one. It opened by Jane Addams and Ellen Gates Star in the what near west side of Chicago on September 18th, 1889. By 1907, it was the premier settlement house in the world. The founders were real humanitarians. Basically, they were fighting against child labor. They were fighting to keep local parks clean. They were trying to make a world a better place. Genuine, good people that I believe this world needs. Pat, by the way, I'm just going to show, Pat says on the chat, he says, Ghostly will do it if we get 15 comments to post about it. So please, Bob After Dark fans, go bother the Ghostly Podcast. I need that. So they were doing a lot of good things for the world. And, you know, if somebody needed help, you can go to the Hull House. If you needed a place to sleep, they had a lot going on there, and it's still standing to this day in the city of Chicago.
But the name came from
another humanitarian,
right?
Yes, which
okay,
Mr. Hull, which gotcha. Again, so he had a lot of brilliant ideas about, you know, if the rich were getting richer and the rich were loaning out money just to the rich, Mr. Hull was basically, he was philanthroping money loaning. He wanted people to be able to buy nice homes and, like, you know, rougher areas or people that weren't bringing home enough money.
Right.
He believed in the American dream. And in fact, if anybody could believe in the American dream and probably started it, it was Mr. Hull. So, I mean, there was a lot of good things going on with that house, and you can go and check that out. And still in Chicago, it's a museum these days. And the fact that Jane Addams herself got involved with it is a really cool thing. And there's a lot of history with Jane and what she went through in her pretty tragic life and what she did to kind of make it better. So I highly recommend you guys check out the Ghostly Podcast episode, because we're not here to talk about the history of the Hull House, because there's already one out there. I want to get to a demon baby, because you have an idea of what there was and who ran it, right? You know there's humanitarians, you know they're doing good people. And as a humanitarian, the idea of turning a pregnant woman seeking shelter, not their MO. Now, before we get to the demon baby, I just wanted to quickly talk about some ghost sightings at the Hull House, because not only is there stories of a demon baby, but there's also ghostly sightings of a woman in white, because of course there is. It never fails me, and I kind of get a giggle at it now the more you study these ghost stories and the more you study the paranormal, because it's, and Pat does it in a skeptical way. I laugh because it's a real thing. It's always a woman in white. You can't just have, like, a man in a plaid. I'll tell you what, if I'm coming back as a spirit, I'm coming back in a red plaid, like, flannel shirt. I'll come back and be like, oh, hey there, guys. You'll see me and be like, oh, that's
the flannel.
The flannel. That's me. Then you'll know it's me.
Yep.
I'll see you in a vest.
Yes.
But for the most part, women in white. And even Jane Austen herself, although ultimately not afraid of it, said that she would stay in the same room that Mrs. Hole stayed in, and she said she would be kept awake at night by unearthly, unworldly noises, sounds, feelings, and it didn't scare her. She said she was probably just hanging around, but she moved rooms anyway because she probably wanted to get some sleep at night. Mm-hmm. And guests that have stayed in said room have all kind of said the same thing, that they were treated to a ghostly woman in white.
Yeah, she actually has some written documentation of the events, of some of the events that occurred there.
And even like when they were getting, you know, they were trying to sell a whole house and kind of get it going, you hear stories about the real estate people like setting up bowls of water and different different ways to kind of make the whole house unhaunted.
Right.
To be able to sell it to whoever was going to do it. Now, see, you try to sell a house to Anthony. Anthony walks in and just goes, "It's haunted. I want it." He could smell it.
Let me write the check.
But we're not here to talk too much about the ghostly sightings at the Hole House. I'm here to talk about the devil baby. Now, there are two potential origin stories on said baby, one from the Italian Catholics and the other from the Jewish people in the neighborhood.
Yes.
The ideas are basically one and the same. In both versions, an Italian bride, because it has to be an Italian bride, whose husband was a, quote, villainous character, by his villainy, and we'll get to that a little later, what that actually meant, was able to help incarnate a baby who was born with horns and a tail. Some say that the baby came out swearing and ripped a cigar out of somebody's hand and started
talking
swearing.
About my birth, man.
However, the story concluded the same. A distraught mom brought the baby to Hole House, and a very confused Jane Addams had no idea what to do. But she always denied it. There has never been a case where Jane Addams basically said, "Yes, I kept a demon baby here," and the fate of said baby we'll get to in a little later. So the story, because she's always denied it and there's never been an actual physical proof of it, is always turned into some sort of local legend in the Chicagoland area, much like the Jersey Devil, which we'll cover in another episode. But let's look at the story as a whole, regardless of legend or
not. I see what you did there. Anyway, go on. As a whole?
I did. I actually wrote that in my notes. Whole. I wrote H-U-L-L and I crossed out and wrote W-H-O-L-E, but I wanted to look at it as a whole. Regardless of legend or not, the story actually became national news. There were people that were showing up from all over the country to the Hole House to catch a glimpse of the demon baby. People were going there demanding to see it.
They were going there with a lot of money.
Yes. People were asking, "I'll pay you $10 to see the demon baby."
Yes.
And they were always turned away and said, "There's no demon baby here." And it's crazy because this is probably one of the first times in normal history that the paranormal has made national headlining news. And I'm not talking like a supermarket tabloid or, you know, what you hear on a paranormal podcast. There were legitimate periodicals writing about the supposed demon baby. And because of that, people hear the story. And of course somebody says, "Oh, I've heard something," or they put their own spin on it. Now, the most normal and the most told story, again, was Italian bride marries an atheist. She put up a picture of the Virgin Mary. He rips down the picture, and because of that, it causes demon spawn. And I wanted to bring and ask you about that.
But didn't he also say that he'd rather have the devil live amongst them than have that picture up on the wall?
Now, I wanted to ask you real quick about the we're going to get to the metaphysical ramifications of what potentially that could have been. But do you think this story was told from a Catholic point of view to kind of, not Catholic, I'm not going to pick on Catholics because I grew up Catholic, for crying out loud, still am, parents are, et cetera, do you think this story was told to religious boys and girls to kind of make them scared not to be messing around with the wrong crowd?
Well, that's a question that's been passed down through the ages, generation right. to generation, mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of people were taught to fear the unknown. And if you do this, this is going to happen. If you do this, the devil is going to come. You're going to pull, you know, so it could have been. Yeah.
Yeah. I found that story rather interesting. And then I wrote in the notes, that was an afterthought about the whole religious, you know, the religious scare of everything with the show. Not with the show, but with the story. Cause it's, you know, you hear these stories and, you right. know, even like the boogeyman, it's like go to sleep at an early time.
Correct.
So, I mean,
correct.
Is this a story that religious folks told their, you know, their young bride daughters, hey, make sure you're marrying a good, strong religious person because did you hear about the demon baby in the whole house?
Right.
But I wanted to talk a little bit more about the visitors that went there because it wasn't just the normal people with money.
No.
Scientists were showing up because they wanted to study the baby.
Right.
Doctors showed up because they thought the baby was a medical miracle.
Right.
And preachers, priests, people of all walks of life from the religious aspect,
yep.
people with money, they all wanted a piece, not a piece, but a peek of right. this demon baby.
And Jane Addams being yes. the, you know, humanitarian that she was.
Yeah.
Basically, in my opinion, was protecting this child.
Oh, so you're a believer in the story of the demon baby.
To some extent, yeah.
Sure, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Absolutely, mate.
Because the legend concludes with the residents of the whole house taking the baby to get baptized.
That's right.
It laughed at the laughed in the priest's face and ran away from him, hiding and ducking out in the pews. Where eventually it was caught, locked up, put in the attic for it to kind of starve out and die. And this part of the story was actually what a lot of people believe was the inspiration behind the book or movie Rosemary's Baby.
The cursed movie of Rosemary's Baby.
That is a cursed movie. We'll get to that someday.
It really is.
But people say, and to this day, I saw someone chime in the chat talking about this. To this day, some people believe that you can see the face of an evil-looking boy in the window of the attic.
Yes. Staring right at you.
Yes.
Yes.
So, my question to you, Anthony, and if you want to chime in, talk a little bit about this, it'd be really great.
Yeah.
What do you suppose caught, if you're believing into the story of the demon baby of Hull House, which I'm buying into to an extent, I'm a hashtag team believer. I always have been.
Right.
But I don't think, I don't believe in the idea that the baby came out of the womb, started swearing at everybody, and started cursing, you know, basically denouncing religion and snatched a cigar out of the person's hand and started smoking a cigar. I don't think I believe in it to that extent, but I do believe...
How cool would that have been, though?
Isn't that basically your boy? You're pretty much... Boy!
Boy!
What do you think can cause a demon to attach to an entity that's literally only seconds born? Is it possible for a human to give birth to a demonic entity? And isn't there some sort of religious text that talk about this kind of a thing? I believe it's in Revelations.
About the Antichrist?
Yes.
But if you read into the Revelations, it's, you know, Lucifer, Satan, is not going to appear as, you know, as we all think he's going to appear with horns, tail, things like that. You know, going back to that question about, you know, what would cause such a thing. I mean, with a lot of possessions and unwanted possessions, shall I say, there's a lot of vulnerability with the host. Okay? There's a lot of maybe spiritual torment that's going on within themselves, unstable environment, a lot of oppression, things like that, which can cause a possession. An unwanted possession, should I say.
Sure. So, excuse me, mother gets possessed, right?
Yeah.
She is with child.
Yeah.
Possible for possession to go to child?
Anything's possible. Sure. And that's basically the field that we're in, is the possibility of anything occurring.
Now,
we have to look at it in two points of view. You know, the time that this was happening in, you know, the state of the mother. Could it have been, you know, a very, very bad birth defect where the child did look?
Because of course.
To this day, there are still children that are born that, you know, have the quote-unquote appearance of what the, you know,
yeah,
people think a demon would look like.
When in reality, it's just an unfortunate birth defect.
Correct. So, you know, there's always the two sides of the spectrum that we have to kind of analyze and look at. But the possibility of either or, absolutely.
And do you think by the father, if the father's story is correct, ripping down the story of the picture of the Virgin Mary, mm-hmm. do you think that is welcoming something to kind of wander into the home? Because, I mean, some people, you know, people have, I'm a firm believer when you're studying the occult and stuff that your power comes from within and your sigils that you decide you're going to put faith into is going to
correct.
Do what you want it to do. Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
well done, young grasshopper.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been doing my studies.
Yes, you have.
So in this case, this Italian bride wanted to picture up the Virgin Mary. That's who she wanted to pray to. And this person more or less took down their photo of their deity. And I believe we have a caller on the line. Who do we have?
You know why I didn't know who was going to call or not? We got John on the line.
Ah, John, I heard you were under the weather.
Little under the weather, but not that far under the weather not to call Bob after dark.
Thanks for calling in, John.
Oh, hey, John,
how are
you, man?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. Anthony's back.
Yep. Everything okay, Anthony?
Everything's good, John. Thank you for asking.
Well, our thoughts and prayers are with you and will remain with you. So hopefully turns out okay over there for you eventually.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate that.
But you guys were talking a little while ago about why seems like always a ghostly appearance turns up in white.
Sure.
Is there any reason for that?
That is the age-old question, and it's actually a very good question that skeptics like to ask a lot. And I feel like skeptics like to poke fun at the believers. It's like, why is it always a woman in white? I have two theories. I have three theories, actually. Anthony's got good ones. My first theory is one I learned recently, and I actually took from Captain Skeptic himself, old Patrick, was once upon a time ago when women were buried, they were buried in white dresses. And if you believe that a spirit is going to its residual energy is coming back from moments before passing or moments when it leaves, when they leave this earth, they're going to wear the garments that they had when they passed. So that's my theory number one, was garments worn during death or in general were white. What my theory number two was, white's a very popular color. Maybe there's just a lot of people who wore the color white, even at the time of death, that aren't, you know, dressing garbs when they're buried. Three. So, in a nasty case when there's hauntings and it turns out not to be what it says it is, the white is the color of purity. And what better way to mock purity than to come back from the one thing that's supposed to be pure in all living, which is the passing. And that's my third theory. What do you have a theory on the lady in white?
No, yeah, well, you just took it from me, and that was the word I was going to refer to as purity, because when you are baptized, you know, obviously you were white. When you're married, you were white. So, passing away, I would imagine, if you come back as a ghostly appearance, you obviously were white. So the purity, I think, is the key word there, in my opinion.
Do you have a theory, Anthony?
I think there's a lot of OxyClean in the spirit world.
Yeah.
What's his face did pass over, the Billy Mays. So, I mean, it's plausible.
He passed over his gifts,
his gifts
of OxyClean.
Thanks for calling in, John. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
John.
Thanks, John.
Hey, guys, do you want to be like John and call in the Bob After Dark? 219-845-1100. You guys can call in and talk to me and Anthony and Count Panic himself. And you can ask us any questions, or you can tell us we're full of crap. I mean, that's a very big plausibility. Patrick calls in from time to time. He's been kind of nice about it when he does. Now, I have a story that I don't think a lot of people know about that I'm going to see if I can tie into it. But the story of the demon baby of Hull House, do you have any other words you'd like to add to it? No.
Keep on going.
Panic. Hashtag panic steak.
You know what? I met some bratty kids in my day, but this this whole demon baby takes the cake. And I got to say, it's nice to get the conversation off of Baby Yoda and focus on the demon baby.
What is – so you believe I have a theory about the demon baby of Hull House.
Tell me.
In a believing sense, I don't believe that like I said, I don't know if I can buy into the idea that this baby came out swearing, grabbed a cigar. I do believe that birth defects are a completely real thing.
Absolutely, they are.
And especially during this time period, modern science wasn't around at all, and you kind of were basing things off of the bare minimum that you do know. And let's say this mom had this baby and she grew up in a very religious household, and they saw this baby come out with what looks kind of like maybe flippers, which I've seen in birth defects where toes don't develop. Mm-hmm. And it kind of looks like hooves, and maybe the forehead is deformed, and it may look like horns. They don't know medicine like we do, first assumption they're probably going to have is, oh my God, you just gave birth to a demon baby.
Very true.
So if I'm going to buy into a paranormal theory, I don't believe that it necessarily was, because I don't want to say it was something anti-Christ level, because we were talking a little bit before the show about, you know, the seals of the apocalypse and how
the seven seals.
The seven seals and Lucifer coming to the earth and et cetera. I don't necessarily buy into that either, because this was a long time ago. And the earth hasn't ended yet, so I'm not going to buy into the idea of it being Lucifer born to earth. Do I think that it's potential of a demon? Maybe. But all of my studies in demonology show that not necessarily these images that we put to demons actually are what demons look like.
Absolutely.
Not all demons are rocking around with horns, hooves, and a tail. Believe it or not, a demon can very much well blend itself into society in a very normal meat suit, kind of causing its own little havoc in its own little area. And demons can kind of manifest into what they want. Their ultimate job, for the most part, is to scare you so they can gain some power over you and do what they're gonna do. So I'm going with, if it was metaphysical lower level demon potential, maybe lower than a crossroads demon, realistically, if it was something, and I'm playing devil's advocate, no pun intended, going with birth defect, and I'm specifically going with elephantitis. Baby born with elephantitis, have no idea what that is. They take it to Jane Austen at the Hull House, and she's going to care for the baby regardless. Do I believe that she locked the child up in an attic to die? I mean, I don't want to say yes to that, but she might have also – there's a lot of people coming to the home.
Correct.
So maybe the locking up in the attic wasn't malicious, but to protect the child.
Right.
So that's my two theories on what the demon baby of Hull House could be. It could be a demon – or it could be a maldeformed child, which unfortunately was born pretty messed up, and that's where it ended up. What's your take on it? Because I'm sure you
pretty much, you pretty much hit the nail on the head there. It could be both, you know. But going with the times and going with, you know, the mother was a very religious Catholic practicing, and you know, coming from the Italian background. Family.
Oh, yourself, right?
Well, pardon me.
Yeah.
But with, you know, religious Italian families could possibly see a defect and see that as something else. Especially if the husband was a little bit of a shady character. So, it could be both.
Yeah. So. Now, I want to tie it into something really interesting, because This is a very, like, not well-known story. And before I begin, I want to give a shout-out to a local paranormal historian. His name's Tony Schabelsky, and Tony is a part of the Ghost Tours of Chicago. He also kind of does his own, like, paranormal talks and whatnot, and he actually has one coming up that I wanted to plug on February 15th in Pilsen. They're doing a paranormal presentation, him and our friend Jack, who also is a local paranormal head.
Okay.
They're going to be doing a presentation. We're going to maybe get them on the show in the next couple of weeks so they can pitch that. Tickets are only $15.
Nice.
If I wasn't going to be in Anime Milwaukee, I would definitely be at the event myself because it's local and you don't see a lot of local neighborhood paranormal stuff, so that's kind of cool that they're doing that. And I know Jack's working on a book and stuff, so we'll get them on the show very, very soon. But I interviewed Tony to talk a little bit about the story, because what I'm about to tell you it's a story that's been passed down from generation to generation, but you cannot find one singular article about it online. I can't. I have typed in things, I've searched, and I was pulling my hair out. And finally, Pat's like, you should talk to Tony. He's pretty good about the local paranormal stuff, so I did. And I want to tell you guys about another sighting that could have been a devil in the Windy City. This is all quote from Tony. He told me that the devil might have been in Bridgeport. Apparently at the old Kaiser Hall in, some say, the 1910s and late as the 1920s, there was a young lady who caught the eye of a gentleman, and they began whirling around the dance floor like nobody has ever seen before. She's a maniac, dancing like she's never danced before. That was a really bad joke. Tony didn't actually say that. I threw that one in there myself. I got a giggle out of you. That's all that matters. Are you giggling over there? Thank you. So they were whirling around the floor like nobody's ever seen before, when all of a sudden, she lets out a huge scream. People thought the man did something to hurt her, so they tried to attack him. They had him cornered when all of a sudden he leapt out of a window and seemed to glide to the ground. And the way I've never seen the ballroom, I'm going to have to go check it out. It's still in Bridgeport. The ballroom's boarded up, but underneath is some kind of store he was telling me. So he jumped from the second floor and seemed to glide to the ground, landed, and took off down the street. People went outside to go investigate, and down the road on a snowy night left footprints of not feet, but hooves.
No.
So,
very neat.
Devil in the Windy City, specifically in Bridgeport, which is my mom's old neck of the woods.
Huh. Yeah. That's an interesting story.
Yeah. So, potential connection between the devil baby of Hull House and the devil man of Bridgeport. The time frame, I guess, lines up a little bit.
Yep.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate. See, I'm all kinds of puns tonight. Look at that. I got you both giggling over there. I hope people are giggling at home when they listen to that part, because I worked really hard on that joke. if Demon Baby is true, and Jane Addams locked it up in the attic in Hull House in Chicago, much like Quasimodo got out of Notre Dame to go after Jasmine, the gypsy girl, he might have went out on town to go to Bridgeport to go dancing at the Kaiser Hall.
Maybe.
And maybe he just got a little confident with himself. Maybe she looked down and noticed he had hoof feet. And he leapt out to go run off and go back to the attic. It's possible. I really love stories like this, because, like, you really don't know what to take of it. My mom's from Bridgeport, right? And I asked her, and I said, hey, Ma, you ever hear the story of the devil man of Bridgeport? And she's like, no. So thanks, Ma.
Isn't that a book, though? The Devil in the Windy City?
Yeah, but that's about, like, H.H. Holmes, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's about a real guy. No, that's about a real guy.
Wow. That's a cool story, though. I like stories like that.
So, do you think there's a potential connection? The time frame lines up.
It really does.
If Hull House opens up in the late 1800s and this story may have taken place in the 1920s, let's say the Demon Baby was there taken in the later part of that, that gives like a 20-year yeah. gap for Demon Baby to grow up and become a, I guess, a world-class dancer.
Yeah.
Do you think
with hoofs. Can you imagine the moves?
Can what's your take? I'm curious to hear your take on this. Do you think there's a legitimate do you think there's a connection between Demon Baby, a Whole House, and the Devil Man of Bridgeport?
I think there could be. I think there could be a strong connection there because the time frame, like you said, you know, he's in his 20s. He wants to go out and have a jolly good time.
Yeah. The young lady decides to go dancing. They're dancing like they never danced before.
You know, she sees his hoofs and that's it. Could be a strong hey, anything's possible, right?
Okay, so let's touch base real quick on demonic activity before we...
I think Jacob Foreman had a question, didn't he?
I see that. Do you think the Antichrist will be man or woman? I don't know. I don't know how much I don't know. It's a good question. I guess it could be either. It could be anything.
What does Jacob think? Jacob, what do you think?
I don't know how much I...
buy into that?
I guess I do. It's tough. Because
now we're going into biblical
talks. Welcome to Bob After Dark, where we're going to be talking about ancient biblical texts. There's two sides of the coin to that. You have to understand there's a light and dark. So if there is this great massive dark force that's coming to Earth, you have to have a balance to it. So I don't know.
If Lucifer comes to the Earth, isn't he the light bearer though? Isn't that his name? Isn't that what that means?
I don't know. That's a story for.
I won't go into this.
That's a Bob After Dark like discussion for another day.
Yeah.
But so. Let's say Jane Addams locks baby up.
Yes.
Elephantitis or deformity. Let's say there's nothing metaphysical going on about baby, and it just happened to sneak out, go down to Bridgeport, and it was a darn good dancer.
Absolutely. And maybe his feet appeared, you know, there appear to be hoofs by her, but they're actually
the gliding down from the second floor, though, is where that's an interesting.
But you know when you're dancing, you do glide.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're gliding down from breaking out a window to the floor, to the concrete to run away.
When you're in the dance, and when you're in that whole, look at the count when he dances. He glides down.
It's like I'm floating.
It's like he's floating. Absolutely. So.
Okay, so I want to take a quick verdict here, because this is a ghostly challenge. I might as well finish up in a ghostly way.
Guilty. No.
Guilty, no. Do you believe anything metaphysical was going on, minus the Mrs. Hole that was haunting the place? Because I believe that. Because Jane even wrote about it herself and whatnot. Do you think there was a demonic baby in the Whole House?
No.
No. You're going with deformity.
Yes.
But you believe that there was something going on in the Whole House.
Yes.
Count Panic.
The Whole House. And to bring it back to full circle here,
that's a great answer. I appreciate it. I'm like, what do you think? And you just repeated the episode title.
To circle back to the hooves part.
Yes.
If it's not this, you know, entity we think it is.
Sure.
Reindeer, possibly.
Nessie.
Well, hooves hooves are a little different. But,
oh, yeah. Reindeer. A woman gives birth to a reindeer. What am I going to do?
You know, there are certain parts of the world where that happens.
It's encrypted, right?
Jeez. So, your take. Do you think there was something metaphysical going on at the Whole House?
Yeah, the Whole House. Everything.
Okay, fine. Do you think that there was a demon baby at the Whole House? Are you buying into that?
Yeah.
So you think there was an actual demonic force that was born into child?
It's possible. Feasible.
We talked about that, so you're buying into that.
Sure.
I am going to stick with, this is my verdict on the whole thing. I think Jane Addams came into acquiring a mother with child. Child had legitimate birth defects going on. One of the people probably working at the Whole House or living there caught glimpse of child and then the news spreads like wildfire. And in this case, it just happened to be paranormal. And people believe that this poor child that was suffering from something was instead a demonic force, right. When in reality, I don't think it was. Do I buy into the story that the devil went dancing in Bridgeport? Again, in my studies of demonic stuff, demonology, a lot of demons aren't walking around in physical form like they exist in their plane of reality. They walk around in skin suits, or shadows, or, you know, things like that. In this case, maybe it was a demon that just happened to pop up in its own form. I don't know. I'm going with, if there is a connection between the two, I'm going with a Quasimodo theory. Quasimodo wanted out of that attic, and he escaped out to go find his Jasmine. That's my theory, at least. And, I mean, you can say I'm wrong, which is fine. And to leave about this poor ghostly face of a boy in an attic... Let's say he was treated very well by Jane, which I'm sure he was because she was a beautiful person. She did a lot of good for a lot of people. And he lived in that attic, and let's say he passed in that attic. There is nothing... Every rule we learn about ghosts and spirits and where you die and your energy is left behind, it is very plausible that there is a residual haunting going on in the attic of the whole house of the deformed boy that was brought there who died there. If there's any connection with the devil in Bridgeport, I don't know. But if people are still going up there and looking to see the face of an evil boy, I don't know if they're looking at a face of an evil boy. I feel like they're looking in the face of a boy with elephantitis or something. And that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it, which makes me feel really weird because I'm usually the first person to believe in things.
That's a good theory, yeah.
So that's what we have. That's what I have for you.
Very good.
The demon baby of the whole house. I think we busted that one wide open, which that makes me very impressed. I'm very proud of that one.
Very good.
Yeah, excellent. So, Pat and Rebecca, we answered the call. We did what you told us to do. We talked about a demon baby, which I think this might be the first and last time we ever have a discussion about a demonic baby on the show. I hope. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Because let me tell you, you're writing the notes and you're writing the words demon baby, and you're like, oh, God, stop. So will you answer the call, Pat and Rebecca? Will you guys do an episode on the Devil Made Me Do It case? Because that's one of my favorite Warren's investigations. I'm really curious where Pat's going with it because there's a lot of nonsense that goes into that story. So, guys, get over to the Ghostly Podcast social media and say, we want... The Devil Made Me Do It case. Bob After... And you can put Bob After Dark sent you. I'd appreciate that. Closing words for the audience, Anthony, now that you're back.
That was a good show. I gotta go back to sleep.
Back to the day. You gotta you gotta do the morning talk show.
I gotta do the morning talk show. Couple hours.
Good morning, Australia. Oh, boy. Hashtag panic. What's your story?
I gotta say, you know, I was... Over the weekend, too, I guess I left this out. I got a brand new phone, an iPhone.
Ah.
I've been watching Bob After Dark on it. Pretty cool stuff. I haven't been watching you guys live. I've been watching the show from the phone.
Oh, well, we appreciate that.
But it's still good, regardless.
Thanks, Calvin.
Sounds great. Sounds great, too.
Apple, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, look at that. If you're looking to sponsor a podcast, Bob After Dark might be the show for you. But folks, I just want to say goodnight to my mom and dad, and to you, Tiff. I want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. I hope you're great no matter where you are in the world. And you, lovely children of the night, thank you so much for watching Bob After Dark. We'll see you on Bob After Dark Unplugged, where, I don't know, we'll just come up with a topic this week. It's just we haven't done one in a while with all of us. So
let's just swear.
We'll just swear a bunch. That's on the Facebook Live exclusive show, Bob.
I'm
After
hanging
Dark
to swear.
Oh, well, we'll get
that.
Calm down. FCC regulations, that we're good. And remember, folks, the most important rule of Bob After Dark, and probably the most important rule of the occult, is not all who wander are lost. And remember, as above... So below.
I see what
you're doing. Good night, everybody.
memoriam development.